the message, the heart of Christianity is life. That's always been the case. The promise of Christianity is life. The life you've hoped for, the life you've longed for, the life you've dreamed of, that's the promise of Christianity. Now, listen to this. I want to read you something. Christianity is about a life never ending. Now, the word we use in church is eternal life, and there's not anything wrong with that, but sometimes it can kind of be religious if you're not careful. So I love the phrase never ending. The promise of Christianity is a never ending life. Now, I know that every one of you in this room, myself included, we have an ache in our soul for things to be made right, for things to be restored. I said last week, Jesus came the first time to save us. He's coming the second time to restore and to save the earth and make it a beautiful, wonderful place for us to live. We all have that ache in our soul. My father's passed away. My mother's passed away. My brother's passed away. Now, in my immediate family, there's no one left but me. Now, of course, I have a family, and I'm not saying that I don't, but those people in my life are gone. And I know I'm going to be with them for all of eternity, and everything that's been lost in my life, everything that's been lost in your life is going to be restored. Amen? I want to read to you this morning out of Matthew 19, 28, and Jesus gives an astounding promise. An astounding promise. The promise is so big that it's almost hard to take it in. Listen to what it says. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me," any followers in here? All right, so this belongs to you, right? "Those of you who followed me will sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, of course, we know that's a reference to the disciples. We're not part of that 12, but we are followers. Now, here's what we found out last week. I love this statement. Jesus said there's going to be a day come when everything is going to be renewed. Now, we found out that the Greek word for renewal is palingenesia. The first part of that word means again. The second part, genesia, where we get the word Genesis, means beginning. What's that verse say? Jesus said that everything's going to be restored. If you will, we're going to begin again. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, it means Eden restored is what it means. It means everything that's broken is going to be put back together. This planet we live on that has sin on it, that sin is going to be removed, and that all things are going to be restored. That promise belongs to me, and that promise belongs to you. Now, we talked last week about hope, and that if you put your hope just in this life, you're going to be brokenhearted. All of us in this room have been hurt by life, but the promise of eternity is everything is going to be put back together. Everything is going to be restored because Jesus said that it would. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the rewards of the kingdom of God. How God wants to reward you. When you follow Jesus, he's your Lord and Savior. One of the promises in the scripture is that you will be rewarded. Listen, in church and Christianity, I don't know about you, but I never heard that talked about very much. When I was growing up, we never talked much about being rewarded. And if you said that, it was almost like you kind of had pride in you or there was something wrong with you. Probably you've heard that verse in Revelation that I've heard that says we're all going to be given a crown of righteousness, but we're going to throw that crown at Jesus' feet. And that's absolutely the truth. But all through the New Testament and the Old Testament, God said, "Hey, those of you that follow me, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to bless you." Now, in the story that I'm going to read to you, Jesus has an encounter with a young man that's rich. We call it the rich young ruler. And Jesus has this encounter, and this young man comes up to him, and he says, "Hey, Lord, what must I do to go to heaven?" And Jesus hasn't died on the cross yet, so he says, "Keep the law." Then he says, "Hey, I've done that." And he says, "Well, there's some other things you must do." Then he tells him, "Sell what you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." Now, Jesus just offered him the greatest deal ever offered, but it says that he went away sad because he had a lot of stuff. He chose his stuff over Jesus. Then the disciples say, "Lord, what's the deal?" So let me read to you what happens in that story. Let me find my scripture. Excuse me, Matthew 19 and 23. Jesus says to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who can be saved?" Now stop right there. You know what they didn't say? "That's so good. Rich people deserve to go to hell." No, they didn't say that. It says they were astonished at what Jesus said. Listen to the rest of it. "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then listen to what Peter said. Don't miss this. Peter answered him. Here's what he said. "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Now here's what Peter does. He says, "Hey, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. What are we going to get? What are we going to get?" And listen, Jesus is not offended by that question. See, religious people are offended by that. "Well, hey, you should just serve God for the sake of serving God." But the scripture says, he said, "Hey, Lord, what are we going to get?" Now, in the Old Testament, Abraham did the same thing. When Abraham met with God and God said, "I'm going to bless you and take care of you," one of the first things he said was, "Hey, Lord, what am I going to get?" Now, here's what I want you to see this morning. God the Father desires to reward you. He wants to reward you for your faithfulness. He wants to reward you for your heart, and he wants to take care of you. Now, I'm going to show you some amazing truth this morning about your rewards. I want to read Matthew 19, 28 to you. Listen to this story. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones. You'll judge the 12 tribes of Israel." And everyone, who would y'all say everyone? Everyone, right? Who's that? That's everyone, isn't it? Yeah, that doesn't leave anybody out. "Everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Now, here's the first thing that you do with that verse. You disqualify yourself. You say, "Well, that doesn't belong to me because I haven't given up my house. I haven't given up my mother. I haven't given up my brother. And so that doesn't belong to me." But I'd like to show you something that's amazing in that promise. There's probably not a person in here who hasn't lost something for following Christ. You've lost friends along the way. You see, when we decided to follow Jesus, when Vicki and I said, "Hey, we want to be Christians and we're going to follow Jesus, and I don't want God to just be a fireman in my life." You know what a fireman is? Well, he only comes in case of emergency. And see, there are people that are those kind of Christians. They only call God in case of an emergency. Well, I wanted to have a daily relationship with him. But when I made that decision, I had lots of people in my life that did not understand that. I had family that did not understand it. And to this day, they still don't understand it. You know, when Vicki and I got home from Bible school, you know, we're saying praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. And we're using phrases like that. And our family thought, "Y'all have lost your minds." Because that wasn't normal talk in my family, you know what I'm saying, growing up. And so when we got home, we're like, "Man, praise the Lord, God is so good." And so I've got family in my life that didn't completely understand what we were doing. You probably do too. So all I want you to see is this belongs to you. God wants to reward you. And he says the first thing he wants to reward you with is houses. Now imagine you go get a new job. and it's your job, they say, after you've worked here 2 years, we're going to give you a house. How many of you want a job where they're giving houses away? Yeah, Jesus is like, come on, brother, amen, I want a house. And then they said, after a couple more years, we're going to give you another house. Yeah, you'd be in line, lining up to get that job. Now, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I want to reward you, and I'm going to take care of you. And part of that reward, it says right there, is houses. Now, let me read you another portion of Scripture. I'm going to go to Luke 19:12. Listen to this. Jesus said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Now, that's like 3 months' salary. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. But he was made king, however, and returned home. Then he said, he sent for his servants to whom he'd given the money in order to find out what they'd gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. He says, well done, good servant. The master replied, because you've been trustworthy in a small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your minas have earned 5 more. And the master answered and said, take charge of 5 cities. Now, let me show you something in this story. First off, this is the story of Jesus. Okay, Jesus is the king who came, who was rejected. And we rejected Christ and said, we don't want him to be our king. But he was crucified, raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, and was made king anyway, correct? Okay, you and I are the servants, and you and I have been given talents and gifts and resources and time. And Jesus, the king, has gone home, and he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to ask us, what did we do with what he gave us? Now, here's what I want you to see. It says, if you've been faithful in a small matter, I'm going to make you a ruler over much. Now, don't miss this. Whatever God's given you, if you're faithful with what he's given you, he's going to reward you. And what's amazing in this story is he tells the guy that had 10 minas, he gave him charge of 10 cities. The guy that had 5, he gave him 5 cities. Now, there's a progression here I don't want you to miss. The first story I read said that you're going to get houses. That's what it says in Revelations. It says they'll build houses and they'll live in them. It says they'll plant vineyards and they'll eat out of them. I'm talking rewards here, folks. Then he says, after houses, I'm going to give you cities. If you're faithful with what I've given you, I'm going to make you ruler over cities. This is crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy. I had people ask me after the second service, well, I don't know if I want to be in charge of a city, right? I don't know if I want to do that. I just want to get in. All right, there's nothing wrong with getting in. But the point I want you to see this morning is God wants to reward you. And it's worth following Jesus because he is going to reward you and he's going to bless you. Let me read you another short little portion of Scripture. This is Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. I've been thinking this week about thrones. There's not a lot of thrones in our world today. I think Queen Elizabeth has a throne, right? But there's not a lot of thrones today. Jesus himself said that his throne is glorious. Now, do y'all know about when Jesus went to the mountain with the disciples? It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was transformed into God. And it says that he had eyes like fire and he had feet like brass and he had hair white like light. That's the description of Jesus. It's in Revelation 2. And it says, out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword. That doesn't mean a physical sword. It means the word of God. Okay, that's a description of Jesus. Jesus says he has a throne and that it's glorious. Now, I don't know about you. Can you imagine what that must look like? I can't even imagine what it's going to look like for Jesus to sit on his throne. He says that his angels are coming and that he's going to sit on his glorious throne. Verse 32, and all the nations will be gathered before him and he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right hand and he'll put the goats on his left. If you're wondering which one you are, does your neighbor smell like a goat this morning? Right? Yeah, you're like, yeah, they do, right? Yeah. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you're a sheep. If you don't, you're a goat. That's the distinction. Listen to what he says as I finish this. He says he'll put the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, that's you. He'll say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now, don't miss this last sentence. That's what I want you to look at. Look at what it says. What does he say? The king. Who's the king? Jesus is the king. Now listen, you're going to be right there. You're going to experience this. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your what? Inheritance. The kingdom. Do you see what he says there? He says the inheritance is the kingdom. Listen, folks, we haven't inherited the pew. We've inherited the kingdom. Okay, you and I are citizens of a glorious, beautiful, eternal kingdom. And he says, hey, those of you that followed me, those of you that served me, come and enjoy your inheritance, the kingdom. Now look what it says, prepared for you since the creation of the world. Another translation says, since the foundation of the world. Now here's what I want you to see. We've made a progression this morning. The first thing I talked to you was, is you're going to be rewarded with houses. The second thing it says is you're going to be rewarded with cities. The third thing it says is you're going to be rewarded with kingdoms. That the kingdom of God is your inheritance. The houses of God are your inheritance. The cities of God are your inheritance. Now here's what I want you to see this morning. I want you to put your hope in that promise that Jesus himself said, I'm going to reward you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to take care of you. Recognize, what did Paul say? Well, he said, eyes not seen, nor ear heard what God has in store for those that love him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It says your mind hasn't imagined what God has in store for those that love him. He also said that the present things you're going through in this life don't compare to the blessing and the reward God has for you in the next life. You know, every Wednesday night we do Ground Zero in here and we talk about it a lot. And this room is filled with teenagers. And one of the greatest challenges we face with teenagers is trying to get them to understand that there's life after high school. Right? Y'all remember those days? Remember when you were in high school? Now, some of you, it's been a long time ago, so, right? I mean, I'm putting myself in that group, okay? Right, back when I had hair, right? I mean, it was a while back, I'll admit it. But can you remember when you were high school and all you could think about was school and you couldn't see anything past school? And so we always try to help the kids understand there's life after high school. Okay, it's the same way in church. And when I'm talking to you, there's life after this life. This life is not all there is. This life's not all that there's going to be. After this life, you're going to want to be a part of it. You're going to want to enjoy the rewards. See, I had somebody come up right after the second service. I don't care about any of that. I just want to get in. Well, you're going to care when you get there. Wait a minute, right? You're going to care when you get there. God wants to reward you. Now, I'm a little disturbed by your lack of excitement. Okay. Yeah, I'm a little disturbed. And if you know who that character is, it's good. Okay. If I got up here this morning and I said that I'd been sneaking and playing the lottery. Now, I'm a preacher. I'm not supposed to play the lottery. Okay. So I'm sneaking and playing the lottery. And I got up this morning and said I won the Powerball last night. And I had won $300 million. And it's been nice knowing, yeah. Y'all are clapping, and I didn't even win. yeah. That's my point exactly, right? Yeah, can you imagine? And I got up, you didn't let me finish. I got up and said, I won $300 million, and it's been nice knowing you. Because we're on the next plane to Maui or wherever, right? All I'm saying is you'd be excited. That's all I'm saying. You'd be excited. Y'all were excited and I didn't even win, man. The thought of it excited you. All right, that's exactly what I want these scriptures to stir in your heart. is a sense of excitement, a sense of hope, a sense of joy. This is better than the lottery because it belongs to you and you're going to have it. You may not have it today, you may not have it tomorrow, but the day's going to come when Jesus is going to call you his faithful servant. He's going to invite you in and he's going to say, I've got houses, I've got cities, and I've got kingdoms for you because you followed me until you Texas. That's good news. Amen. Would y'all give the Lord a hand clap? Amen. Man, y'all are doing a lot better now. Amen. Amen. I want to read one little part to you out of the book this morning, and then we'll close, and this is the last thing. So listen to what this says. Revelation 22:12 says, look, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done. Reward, reward, reward. It fills the pages of the Bible. St. Thomas expected to be rewarded for his service to Christ, as have the saints down through the ages. Patrick, the mighty missionary to the Irish, prayed this daily in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, so that there may come to me an abundance of reward. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the reward promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. Now think how we've been taught in church, don't have too big, you know, keep things down. Don't get your hopes up. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, don't get your hopes up. Okay, well, Jesus is saying, get your hopes up. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. We're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to put hope in your heart that it is worth following Jesus. You won't be sorry. You won't be disappointed. You are going to be rewarded. The love and the light of God is going to shine on you in your life. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand up and let me pray for you. Father God, I want to thank you this morning for this great body of believers. Father, I'm so grateful for this church. I'm so grateful for the families and the friends that are here. And Father, I pray as we go from this place, we're filled with hope. We're filled with encouragement that you are going to take care of us. We are going to be in your kingdom. You are going to reward us and bless us, and that it'll be better than anything we could ever hope, anything we could ever dream, and that we would put our hope in that and not in this life. Father, I'm thankful for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, I love you. Y'all go and be blessed and have a great rest of your weekend.